They were surprised, but they should have known. I think that was probably true about lots of people in Palestine in the first century. They were surprised by the popularity of Jesus. They were surprised by the large crowds that were following him and listening to him. They did not expect it. In fact, they wondered out loud at times about whether any good teacher could come from Nazareth, knowing that was his hometown. Missing why they should have known that there were prophecies that told the people that he would be known, the Messiah, as a Nazarene. Or they could have looked deeper. They could have realized that he was born in Bethlehem, and they could have been reminded of yet more prophecies about the Messiah and his place of birth. No, they were surprised constantly. Even Jesus' closest disciples were surprised on all sorts of occasions. Think about how surprised they were when he was suddenly being arrested and as he was put on trial. They were surprised, but they should have known. They should have known, after all, Jesus told them multiple times that he would be betrayed, handed over to sinners, put on trial, crucified, and buried. And yet those disciples seemed so surprised. They seemed surprised once again when on Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared to them once more alive. Why were they surprised this time? They should have known. How many times did Jesus tell them that even after he went through suffering and death and burial, he was going to rise again? They should have known, and yet they were surprised. Seems the disciples were still surprised when Jesus, blessing them, suddenly was lifted up. A cloud hid him from their sight, and he disappeared into heaven. They just sat there staring for a while until the angels told them that they could stop. They should have known because Jesus told them about it, and just 10 days after that, it seems they were surprised again. Again? They probably should have known. We know Jesus told his disciples about this. We know he told them about it on multiple occasions. He had been promising. We heard one of his promises from John 14 just today, promising to send the Counselor, to send the Holy Spirit to them. He had promised to baptize these disciples with power. I don't know how far those promises went past those disciples. Maybe other people knew about them, maybe not. The crowds were certainly surprised too. And I suppose some of the surprise for the disciples may have been that Jesus wasn't clear about exactly when it would happen or exactly what form it would take. But they certainly should have known. They had been told. Here's how it did happen. We read about it in Acts chapter 2. It was Pentecost, a special festival day that God's people had been celebrating for a long time already. Every year it brought people to Jerusalem to celebrate. And it did once again on this occasion. Jerusalem was crowded with people from all over the place. We heard the list that Acts records for us. That's one of those places in Scripture. If you're in a Bible study or a classroom setting, you don't want to be the person who gets called on to read it out loud, because there are words like Pamphylia that we don't use all that often, and you gotta wade your way through them. But it's a list of places that kind of draw a big circle around Jerusalem and around Judea, and people from all over had come into Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, And that was an appropriate day, therefore, for something special to happen. This was no ordinary Pentecost. No, on this day, Jesus did exactly what he had promised, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on his disciples. Maybe it did surprise them exactly how it happened. It certainly surprised the crowds for a number of reasons. Everything started with a sound. It sounded like a wind. They didn't feel the wind. They just heard this mighty wind. Maybe makes us think about Jesus speaking to Nicodemus when he told him that the Holy Spirit works in a way that reminds people of the wind. The wind blows and you don't know exactly where it comes from. You don't know exactly where it's going to go. But you can tell the difference it makes when it gusts. Well, here there was a sound like a violent wind, a rushing, mighty wind that gave sound to something that normally had no sound. And this action of the Holy Spirit was given a sight as well. Something like fire, tongues of fire, flames of fire, separated and settled over the heads of each of those disciples. There was no mistaking the sign. There was no mistaking the appearance. There was no mistaking that these men were being singled out for a unique and special opportunity. And then they began to speak. And people from all around heard them speaking in their own languages. Those disciples hadn't taken any classes to prepare for this. They weren't working with the latest language learning app. The Holy Spirit, in a moment, had changed Babel in the opposite direction. Instead of confusing languages, allowed those disciples to speak languages they had never learned before. And so they did, and the people heard it, and the people said that they were hearing the good news. Those men were sharing with them the wonderful works of God. And that was enough to get some attention. In fact, that was the purpose of all of this. It got a lot of attention. That was the purpose of the flames and the wind sound. That was the goal of proclaiming news to people in the language, not just that they could understand, but in the language of their hearts. And the language of their experience, the language so dear to them, they heard their very own language. These men were speaking to them, which gave them an opportunity to listen in a very special way. They wanted to hear what these men had to say. Well, not everybody did. There were a few that made fun of the disciples. Said, you know what's happening? These guys are drunk, as if that somehow gave an explanation to what was going on very early on that particular morning. No, what was happening was exactly what had been promised, exactly what Jesus had told his disciples was going to happen. The Holy Spirit was being poured out on his chosen disciples who would become his apostles. Just think how much they needed this. How many previous occasions had those disciples cowered in fear, hidden behind locked doors? How many times had they been hesitant to do what they knew they should have done? So many times, even when Jesus was with them and instructing them and teaching them, they just didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't take it to heart. It didn't make sense to them. But at that point, the Holy Spirit was providing the power that they needed. Just last week in our gospel, we heard Jesus promise this to his disciples. He said, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And according to Jesus' own words, which we listen to today, the Holy Spirit would teach these men, remind them of all the things that they had heard, remind them of everything He had told them. The Holy Spirit was making them bold to proclaim Jesus, to speak His word. That's exactly what happened when Peter got up and called the attention of the crowd to himself and began to preach to them. See, this activity wasn't just beneficial. This activity was essential to the growth of Christ's church. This was God's design and plan, that the disciples would be Christ's apostles to take the good news to others. They would also play important roles in writing down these words, preserving them for future generations, and in providing leadership for the new church and providing guidance to the new church. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit wasn't only for those disciples. In fact, far from it. There were so many more who were going to benefit from the working of the Holy Spirit that very day. Peter got up and he began preaching to the crowd. And as he began, he shared a prophecy from Joel, a prophecy that spoke about the last days. Spoke about the entire time period between when Jesus went up into heaven and when He would come back again. And that's why we hear words and phrases that make us think of the final judgment, that very last day. But in the meantime, and why Peter was using that verse, was because it talked about the Holy Spirit being poured out on God's people, on all His servants, on men and on women. What the people were seeing, what they were hearing, was proof that this was being carried out. And not only was it what they were seeing and what they were hearing, they were experiencing this proof as well. We maybe didn't get the full picture of it because we stopped after verse 21, but Peter's sermon goes on, and then Acts explains what happened after the sermon, tells us about Peter preaching the good news of what Jesus had done, and the result that 3,000 people were baptized in Jerusalem that day. The Christian church took this giant leap from being a rather small, a particularly small group, to a much larger one that very day, all because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's really easy for us to see the Holy Spirit working in these big, loud, kind of unexpected and certainly unique ways on this particularly unique day in the history of the church. But the Holy Spirit was just as active in quiet and unassuming ways as well. All those people who heard and believed the words that Peter was sharing, all those disciples and the good news that they had proclaimed, everybody who heard that and believed what they said, that was because of the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. They were sinners just like us. They were people who by nature and with their sinful nature couldn't believe in the things of God, couldn't understand. They were totally inadequate for their own thinking or choosing to go in the direction of Jesus Christ. We're going to confess together in just a few minutes how that is true for us as well and how we are reminded of that. But the Holy Spirit, for them and for us, overcomes. He brings to faith. He converts. He takes the good news and He places it in our hearts. He takes the work of Christ dying to take away our sins, the work of Christ rising to live a new life for us. And He makes that our very own possession. He gives us the gift of heaven and eternal life. He empowers us to love and to serve others boldly and confidently. He strengthens our faith to fight temptation, to resist the will of the devil in our lives. This is why we consider Pentecost every single year and remember this important day. But as we consider Pentecost, it is easy for us to get caught up in maybe opposite extremes. Sometimes there are times where we expect or we even demand some big, loud signs and wonders that God hasn't promised to us. This sort of working of the Holy Spirit in loud ways was particularly useful for the early church. It was foundational to the spread of Christianity beyond Jesus' own apostles and disciples. Important for them to have the authority to help craft the direction that the church went and the understanding that the people had. But think of the benefits that we have today. We have the entirety of the Scriptures written down for us. We have the gifts of holy baptism and holy communion. We don't need the sound of wind or the appearance of fire. We have what we need. What we need is to pay attention to it, to focus on those things that God has given to us and has told us. We need to resist the temptation to think that we need something more or that other big thing would just make the difference in the lives of people to whom we reach out. We need something bigger or something that to our minds is better. I guess that kind of relates to the other temptation. We need to be careful that we don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit as He works in ways that we might consider everyday or ordinary or regular ways, because we do have opportunities to witness them every single day. Every time His Word is preached or read, the Holy Spirit is active in hearts. Every time baptismal water is applied, the Holy Spirit is active to wash away sin. Every time His people receive Christ's body and blood in the sacrament, the Holy Spirit is nourishing their souls. Every time. These are the means that He uses to create faith, to strengthen faith. These are the means that He uses to overcome unbelief. These are the means that He uses to build temptation-resisting, neighbor-loving servants of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And thanks to the Holy Spirit's work in your hearts, that's exactly whom you have become. That's why we celebrate year after year this special Pentecost. You have the peace that Jesus promised. You have the righteousness that He won on the cross. You have a new life with Him just like He rose from the grave. You have an eternal home. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's amazing. And that's powerful. And that's undeserved. So I guess in some sense it's surprising. But we shouldn't be surprised. Because this is what Jesus told us. And because He lives, He pours out His Holy Spirit on us. Thanks be to God for His amazing gift. Amen. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.